This is a production from the Yak Podcasting Network. The home for your growing sonic map of local voices, united in their commitment to the best in podcasting.
Welcome, everybody, to, a regular edition, a Monday edition of the OBP, the Orange Bloods Podcast. I'm Jeff Ketchum. I'm back after a week of just dealing with things. We had a bit of a family emergency in Houston. I had to put a dog down on Friday. It was just a week. And then it was just stuff in between. It wasn't like a week of R&R. It was a week of, I'm sure it could still be R&R, and I could think of other words that start with R that would describe the week that was. But I'm back. It was a fun weekend, I thought, in sports. Certainly, you know, after a pretty drab, it's funny. I'm real quick before I jump into the weekend that was in sports. Shout out to our guys over at the Texas Card House, 183 and Anderson Mill. They are the sponsor of the OBP. They are the sponsor of the Orange Bloods War Room. And they are the city of Austin and the state of Texas's premier poker club. You can go in there 7 days a week, almost 24 hours a day, and get your poker on, get cash games, tournament games, everything that you can think of. They've got there, and it's a classy place. It is the closest little slice of Vegas that you will get outside of Vegas around these parts, but for sure. Go check them out, 183 and Anderson Mill, Texas Card House. So the weekend that was, you know, I would imagine everybody's focused on the Final Four, and there is a weird little tinge of University of Texas discussion to be had there. Might as well just jump into that. Texas Tech among the four teams in the Final Four. And I called that, like, my bracket is terrible. It's garbage. My national champion was Duke. They're gone. I picked North Carolina. I missed on a few. But I did have Texas Tech in the Final Four, and they are there. They will take on Michigan State in the first game of in their game. I haven't even seen the order of the two games from this weekend, so I don't know if it'll be the first or the second. But Chris Beard has got Texas Tech into the Final Four, and it's a great accomplishment for Texas Tech. It is arguably the greatest achievement in athletics in the history of men's sports at that school. I can't think of anything on the football side that comes close to matching it. They've never done it in basketball. And, you know, to me, the equivalent of getting to a Final Four in basketball would be, you got to win for baseball to be in the same. Because with all due respect to the College World Series does not register like a Final Four does. A Final Four is bigger than that. You have to win a national championship in baseball, I think, to match the weight of what making the Final Four does. And Chris Beard gets Texas Tech there, and they didn't get an easy route. This wasn't one of these accidental, they faced a couple of double-digit seeds and got lucky with the right opponents. No, they had to go through the lion's den of sorts to get to where they wanted to go. Although Steven Gerrard would tell you, this past weekend, somebody asked him about his players going into the lion's den, and he goes, "Are there any lions there?" No, then we're not actually going into the lion's den. So save your silly little metaphors, because it's not like going to the lion's den. However, it was a pretty, steep little test they faced all the way. You know, you could make a case that Gonzaga was the best team in the tournament. I thought Texas, on the day of the game, I thought Texas, even though I picked Texas Tech to win that game, after watching Gonzaga play, now I've said Gonzaga and Gonzaga now, I've switched them off and on. After seeing the Zags, because they don't say Zogs, so after seeing the Zags play more times in the tournament than I probably had, I don't want to say all year. I saw Gonzaga play a few times during the season when they played Duke earlier in the year. But man, I was really impressed by them. And I thought that's the best team in this tournament that I've seen. And Texas Tech was better than them. That wasn't an accidental win. They didn't need a fluke. They didn't need overtime. They just did the damn thing. And what's really fascinating, and I don't know that I've ever given this any thought until this weekend, you would pretty much have to say that University of Texas team with TJ Ford that went to the Final Four in 02 and 03, I mean, you would have to say, again, until this weekend, that was the best basketball team of this century that has come from the college ranks from the state of Texas. Until this weekend and Texas Tech getting to the Final Four, I don't know that I've ever stopped and really thought about it. Like, it's easy to know that TJ Ford team is the greatest team in the history of Texas basketball because there's nothing else, with all due respect to the Slater-Martin teams from what, the late 40s, early 50s, whenever that was. I think it was late 40s when they went to a Final Four. It might have even been like 49. You can't, don't do that. Let's not do that. The best team in the history of the Texas basketball program is the TJ Ford-led Final Four team. And, you know, to this day, I still think that they should have beaten Syracuse the night that they played. And obviously Carmelo Anthony and Syracuse wins a national championship. But that was a really good Texas team. So good that it had, until this weekend, been the only team from the state of Texas to go to a Final Four in this century. And is the actual answer back to those Houston Cougar teams when we talk about what's in between? Because Texas Tech had never been until this weekend. Texas A&M hasn't gone. TCU hasn't gone. Houston hasn't gone. Like, as I start rambling off the teams from the state of Texas, I can't think of any that we would put in that type of breath. So to say that it's a big deal is an understatement. Both what Texas Tech has done this weekend and looking back at that TJ Ford-led team. You know, it's so long ago. But I don't know. I just found it really interesting that Texas Tech making the Final Four brought a little bigger perspective for me as it relates to that TJ Ford team. And this Texas Tech team is really good. I think it's a team that can win a national championship. They might be my favorite, actually, going into the Final Four this weekend. Of all the teams that remain, I think Texas Tech has been the most impressive of that group, even though that's hard to say. I mean, you can't say that Virginia hasn't been impressive. They have been. You can't say that Michigan State hasn't been impressive. They have been. All of these teams, other than Texas Tech, needed breaks to go their way. They needed, you know, acts of God to kind of get to where they're going just to advance through this weekend, except for Texas Tech, which just beat the Zags. Didn't need a miracle shot. Didn't need to beat the clock. Didn't need TV replay. They didn't need, you know, instant replay. They didn't need anything other than they played for 40 minutes and they were better than the Zags. And that's just how that damn thing went down. So, really interesting historical discussion to have, because I guess without knowing how Texas Tech wins a national championship, they get the moniker of the best team from the state of Texas, maybe ever. Would we rank them over a Houston team that should have won a national championship, but didn't because NC State stole it from them, even though that team had two NBA Hall of Famers on it? Like, I don't know. In a weird way, that University of Houston team with Drexler and Olajuwon, kind of because those two guys ended up being so amazing for the next 20 years after that game, I feel like that team has street cred that no other team, even a team that wins a championship. I don't know. But that's the kind of company that we're in. There's just a few of these teams that from the state of Texas have made the Final Four. And Texas Tech goes into this weekend with history. Like, it's already the biggest thing that school's ever done on the men's side of sports. It is how it finishes, though, the magnitude of what Chris Beard has done in an incredibly short amount of time at Texas Tech. They are playing for a legacy that who could have seen this 6 months ago or 18 months ago or 12 months ago? Like, Chris Beard has emerged in front of our very eyes as one of the best college basketball coaches. Like, how he's built Texas Tech is just incredibly impressive. I wonder when he goes somewhere else, everybody's going to be trying to hire that dude. And we're going to get to the University of Texas component of Chris Beard in just a second. But everybody's going to be after this guy. But I wonder if what he's done, can you recreate that magic like that somewhere else? I tend to think that a guy like he can, with the ingenuity that he's shown in putting together the team that he has with transfers and recruiting and pinpoint scouting evaluations and some holdovers that, you know, like there's a lot there. There's development, there's evaluation, there's relationships, there's all these things that have worked to come together at this one place in time that has made what he's done in Lubbock exceptionally exceptional. It's not just exceptional, it's exceptionally exceptional. So now what? If you're Texas, it feels like a gift from God is being given to you potentially. Because Chris Beard isn't just any Division I college basketball coach that's having a lot of success. This guy is a University of Texas grad who got his start as a grad assistant at the University of Texas under Tom Penders. This is an orange blood. This is a guy that on Saturday almost certainly watches the football team and loses his mind, because that's what University of Texas grads do. He is burnt orange. His family is from Texas. This is home. And with all due respect to Texas Tech, which is in a Final Four right now and is the new Big 12 champions, like, this is an incredible season that he's had to dethrone Kansas, but then to take it to the next level, the thought has always been that Texas is his dream job. And Texas is in this position right now where they're going to almost certainly keep Shaka Smart, who, oh, by the way, the Longhorns play in an NIT game in a couple of days. Macomb is flying up to New York City right now. Probably says a lot about the NIT that I'm 15 minutes into this podcast almost, and we haven't mentioned that. It's been put in its proper perspective, I suppose, with Texas Tech making it to a Final Four. Look, Shaka Smart is getting another year because his contract is so heavy that Texas just doesn't, it seems like a non-starter for the decision makers to look at his contract, because they've done this before. To hell with all of that money, and then we're just going to give it to somebody to not work. We're going to make a change because, damn it, change is needed. Texas has done that enough times in recent years. They've had to make two football coaching changes. They just made the basketball coaching change. They just made a baseball coaching change. Texas, and in almost all of those situations, Texas had to eat some money. And in a lot of cases, eat a lot of money. They had to eat a lot of money with Mack Brown. They had to eat a lot of money with Charlie Strong. They had to eat a lot of money. The Barnes thing, I suppose. I'd have to remember how that went down. But the football stuff in particular has been so much dead money that they just don't want to keep being the school that keeps on adding dead money to the books because they can't get the basketball coaching search right. And Shaka Smart was supposed to be that guy, but he hasn't been. This is year four. And year four wasn't better than year one. It was basically, well, it's better than year two, I suppose. But they're an afterthought in conference play. They haven't had a single NCAA tournament win. They've missed it 2 out of 4 years. As much as I personally like Shaka Smart, the basketball has been a complete failure, period. Period. And the thing is, Chris Beard is right there. Right there. Is it expensive? Yes, man. It is. It's expensive. Is it a risk? I suppose so. Look, I can't say for certain that Chris Beard's resume is so strong because of so much success over so many years that he's absolutely going to do the same thing in Austin that he's doing in Lubbock. I don't know that I can say he's John Calipari. I don't know. And there aren't a lot of guys out there that you can say certifiably, take them, put them, slice them anywhere you want to. They'll work because they're that good. I think Chris Beard's that good because look at what he's done. Look at how he's done it. And look at where he's done it. But is there a little bit of risk attached? Absolutely. Absolutely. But he is a guy who's good enough to get Texas Tech to the fucking Final Four. He's a Texas grad. His dream job is Texas. Even if Shaka Smart had the team in the NCAA tournament this year, even if they had been a team, even if they'd been to the Sweet 16, you could make a case that you'd still go out and get Beard anyway if you knew he was available and you could do it. If you knew. Because you know why? Because if Tom Izzo said, you know what? I kind of want to coach the last 5 years of my basketball career at Texas if they'll have me. Man, you do whatever you'd have to do to get Tom Izzo. If John Calipari, and imagine we live in this hypothetical world where the seediness of the reputation of the basketball coach doesn't matter. If John Calipari or Coach K, if Coach K said, I'm done at Duke and I want to spend the last 5 years of my career coaching at the University of Texas because it's my dream job and I want to live in Austin. And if Chris Beard was your coach, you'd fire him and you'd go get Coach K. Because there are only a few hires in the sport that you would certifiably say, wait, we can have whom? Who? And if they want to come and you've got the green light and it's just a matter of finding out, like finding a way to get it done, don't you do it? Wouldn't we do this in any form of business? If you have a position that's not performing like the best, and the best becomes available, don't you do that? I realize that, look, maybe there are situations where we're talking about non-starters, right? Well, like, you could get Coach K, but it would cost $100 million. I don't know. I guess you'd shrug your shoulders at that point and say, we can't do $100 million for Coach K, can we? Or maybe the number's 50 million. I don't know. In this case, that number's about 30. To get Chris Beard, Texas would have to eat the rest of Shaka Smart's contract. They would have to pay what I believe is a $6 million buyout to hire Chris Beard, which puts you at about 18 million. Then you got to give Beard a contract. And I'm guessing you're going to pay Beard more than you're paying Shaka Smart. So you're really talking about, what, $5 million a year? 5 years, $5 million? 4 years, $5 million? No, 5 years. Chris Beard's not leaving Tech without a 5-year deal. And he's probably in 5-ish, maybe 4. But Texas Tech would probably match 4. Yeah, they may match 5. Like Chris Beard would be in a position where you're putting enemy against enemy, conference foe against conference foe. they would certainly try. They wouldn't just let that guy go. Even if he is the basketball version of David McWilliams, to the extent that he's a Texas grad and having enough success at Texas Tech that Texas would want to take that, in the sense that they're Texas grads who would be coming home, like those two things are in common. Maybe if you're Texas Tech, you just got to be careful. Maybe hire some A&M grads or Baylor grads, or Tech grads, I don't know. But you always will find yourself in a bit of a position of weakness should you be hiring a guy who went to school for one of your rivals. Maybe not, but the potential certainly exists. So if you're Texas, you're going to give him, let's just, for you know what, to keep the number low, let's say he comes for four. Let's say he's going to make Tom Herman money. Or ish. Let's give him 5 years, $4 million. So now we're going to take that 20 and we're going to stick it on top of that 18. And now we're at $38 million. That's a $38 million investment in basketball over the course of the next 5 years. Now, of course, you've got to factor in assistant coaches and you've got to factor in, you know, just the money. Let's say a couple of million. Just to make it easy, let's say it takes a couple of million to bring in new assistants, to take care of existing contracts for old assistants and staff and all of those things that exist. $40 million. Chris Beard is the $40 million investment that I think Texas needs to make, that Texas is almost terrified to even attempt. Now, you know, the thought had been, well, do one more year with Shaka. And then if you want Chris Beard in a year from now, then you can eat that $6 million then, but it'll be a little bit less and then you'll know. And I kind of come from the vantage point of, if you know what you want, then get it. This is where the leadership of the University of Texas needs to listen to Ariana Grande. This is where they need to get the lyrics from Seven Rings and they need to memorize them all the way down, word for word. Those of you that have never heard that song, who don't know what I'm talking about, it's probably my favorite Ariana Grande song. But the hook is essentially her going, I want it, I got it. 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 You like my hair, gee, thanks, just bought it. I see it, I like it, I want it, I got it. That's it. It's a pretty gangster song for her because it's got so much attitude. But that's what the University of Texas needs to be. They need to be Ariana Grande. They need to be, I see it, I like it, I want it, I got it. If that's who you want as your basketball coach, then if it's going to cost $40 million to make it happen, then go do it. Because it would be $35 million next year. And do you want to get what you want? The Texas grad with a bigger resume than even Shaka Smart, coming home, new arena coming soon. Like, you can sell this. You can sell this. But it's going to require an emphasis on basketball and an emphasis on financial spending that Texas, I don't know that they would have done this for Nick Saban. There was a price point even on football, even with Nick Saban. I had a conversation with somebody who is absolutely involved with the Mac Brown stuff, with all of the stuff that was going on at that time. A decision maker inside the university. Somebody who, you know, is important. I'm trying to think of the right word. He's important. That person told me that if Nick Saban had wanted to come to Texas, but had wanted $8 million to make it happen, Texas was never going to hire Nick Saban for that amount of money. It was just not going to happen. It's too important for Texas and its internal leadership to not look like they are win at all cost in athletics. They want to do this with a certain amount of integrity, even if that's really, really hard to do. And they weren't going to do it for Saban, not for eight, not for seven. So what I'm really telling you is they're not going to do this for Chris Beard. Not now. Not now. But they should. And not because I don't like Shaka Smart. For the same reasons that if you had Chris Beard and Coach K said he wanted to come to Texas, for the same reasons that you would get rid of Chris Beard for Coach K, you get rid of Shaka Smart for Chris Beard at this point. Because it's not show friends, it's show business. It's not about win at all costs. It's just about doing the best thing for business. Best decision you can make. And, you know, this shouldn't be rocket science. Think of any coach, and I don't want to say like Bill Belichick because he's the GOAT. If we were going to take this to, just take it to the NBA. Let's just take Steve Kerr. It might be that Steve Kerr is just a product of his environment, that anybody who just happened to fall into that seat in Golden State would have won championships because Klay Thompson and Draymond and Steph were always going to emerge and be those guys. And then, you know, they were always going to be able to go out and get a Kevin Durant because of the situation. No coach could have completely changed it. But you could also point out that they didn't win anything when Mark Jackson was the coach. And now he's got rings. And if Steve Kerr, who is a product of the system in a way that college basketball could never be. Never. Not even Duke and Kentucky can give you the luxuries that exist when you show up and, like, you know, you've got Hall of Famers available to you. You don't get that in college basketball. You don't get to say, oh, I've got Hall of Famers on my team. Well, we'll see how I do. Like, Phil Jackson gets the benefit of the doubt because when you win, you get the benefit of the doubt. So if Steve Kerr, with three rings on his fingers as of now going for a fourth this year, after this year is over, if he says, I want to pick any NBA team with you know, almost zero exceptions. If he said, I want to go to Dallas. That's an interesting one. Dallas has its coach. They love themselves. Some Rick Carlisle. And maybe you could make the case that Rick Carlisle's a better coach than Steve Kerr. But if Steve Kerr said he wanted to come to you, that's where he wanted to be, and it's the only job he would take. I mean, you'd have to think about it. You may come away from it saying, look, Carlisle's our guy. We're not going to make a change. Maybe in the same way that if Saban were available now, maybe everybody at Texas would say, no, we think Tom Herman's going to be, from this starting point now moving forward, we think Herman's going to be better than Saban. So we wouldn't make that trade. Maybe Texas is one of the handful of teams in the country. But let's take A&M. Like, they love them some Jimbo Fisher. But if Nick Saban said, I want to come to, you know, I want to end my career at Texas A&M. I plan on coaching for 5 to 8 more seasons, and I want to do it in College Station. Even if you have Jimbo Fisher, you have to go hire Nick Saban. You'd have to. No matter how much you love Jimbo, there's in this world that we live in, there are people who are, you know, even Mike Tyson gets knocked out by Buster Douglas. There's always somebody who's moving and working to be better. There's very few people who are just the best at what they do, and you can't find anybody else that's better. right? Like, Alabama wouldn't fire anybody to get rid of Nick Saban because he's the GOAT. But there are very few situations in this world where, if given the choice to upgrade, if all things are equal, you upgrade where you can upgrade, because that's what we're supposed to be doing in life, moving forward, not standing pat. And I think the University of Texas is in this situation where they legitimately have they legitimately have an elite level coach who's better than their non-elite level coach, who's there to be taken, but Texas has to want to take it. And when I say want to take it, they got to be prepared that that's going to be about a $40 million move. But if you're selling out the arena, if you're creating a buzz, if you're getting ready to go into a new arena in a few years, and you need somebody who's going to sell suites and sell sponsorships and all of those things, go get you a guy. Like, make your $40 million investment, but know that you're going to make that money back. $40 million is not that much when you're talking about a commodity that can change your way of life and the way that you're doing business and the enthusiasm in the program and the enthusiasm of your sales team calling up sponsorships and saying, hey, we're looking for somebody to spend $5 million to be the center court logo or whatever. It's easier to sell that when there's enthusiasm, when there's momentum. Trust me, I've worked at Orange Bloods for the last 8 years, clearly the last 20 for the most part. But I know what it's like to try to sell in the middle of a team not performing well. Because when University of Texas is in its funk, people don't want to spend as much money on Orange Bloods. And it just kind of, the enthusiasm meter is so low. Go to somebody right now. Hey, we're looking for you to sponsor Dustin McComas's basketball podcast. I mean, they would just cry. But imagine it with excitement. Now, they had that with Shaka Smart, but it died. It was the wrong hire. It hasn't worked out. But as you put that jump start back into the program, at worst, it's a soft loss. At worst, $40 million investment over 10 years. Can you make $10 million back a year in basketball by making the tournament, by selling the arena out consistently, corporate sponsorships? I mean, there are ways to do this that I'm guessing Texas could make back, if not all of that $10 million investment, they could make back most of it per year. But then the question is, do they want to make less of a profit? And then it gets into a weird game of funny money, but maybe they're still making a profit on basketball in a way where it's like, well, if we make this big investment, our margins get cut back, and then we can't have, I don't know, the I don't know, like whatever they're doing with all of that money. Because there's a surplus. There is a surplus. Anyway, I'm going to wrap it up. This just kind of turned into the Chris Beard podcast. I was going to get into some other things. I might do a podcast tomorrow, as a matter of fact. But, you know, given that there's no reason to break this thing up now, I am going to I'm just going to finally say, if it's not painfully obvious 30 minutes into this podcast, the events of this weekend have proven that Texas has the golden goose sitting on its lap trying to lay an egg. Is the University of Texas going to allow someone like UCLA or someone else sneak in, take their egg, and then turn their situation from the golden goose laying you the golden egg to Humpty Dumpty fell off a wall right in your lap?